Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. And that's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity weight, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in, and so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter, you know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the Multi-Shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it, and it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200, and it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around, so you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5", so and even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide, approximately, and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you, and uses, I would use 7/16 OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat-style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one.
Friends, it is time once again for our daily message of hope. And with today's message, here is Richard Eaton.
Friends, to brighten your day, here is our message of hope. Afraid of change? You can't do anything about it. Change is inevitable. Growth is the great fundamental principle, the function of our lives. The seed in the ground will rot if it does not sprout and grow. And so will our minds and souls and bodies. Without conscious action and striving, our Creator answers most prayers in the terms of ideas for action. He doesn't give us something for nothing. He expects us to use what He gives us in active exercise of a freedom which He permits our minds and souls to exercise in reactions to the life patterns of ups and downs, strange events, curious, unforeseen happenings. Human consistencies, all can be changed according to the way our mind evolves, adapts, and grows. Nothing in this world is so inevitable, nor hardly so obvious. The fact is, everything does change. So often we'd like things to remain the same. It'd be so comfortable, nice. We get used to things. We adapt ourselves to a certain pattern, and then suddenly, without any warning, it changes. What are you going to do about it? Well, the first step in gaining a happier and more satisfying state of mind is recognition of the significance of this fact. Everything changes. Everything in life is changing as you and I are changing. And we must do more than this to take proper advantage of the ceaseless change inevitable in our lives. We must consciously react to direct actions that change in the paths of improvement, in the growth of our mind and soul. Change alone is inevitable and constant, but change alone is not growth. It is not progress. We have to do the progress ourselves. We have to convert. We have to adapt. Growth is a cornerstone, the primary marvel of our earthly lives. Our Creator has provided for physical growth in a pattern in which He has given us only limited powers to alter. From babyhood, we go to childhood, from childhood to adolescence, from adolescence to adulthood. And so the story grows. Physical growth. But the way we adapt ourselves to prepare ourselves for those unusual situations, the ones which we can call pleasant or unpleasant, that depends on the way we grow in our minds, the way we grow in the power of adaptation. For friends, life is a constant adaptation. Every phase of life presents a spectacle of change. And as a consequence, the spectacle of retrogression, a standstill status or progress of growth. In each case of progress or growth, there is a constant overcoming, a vanquishment of the obstacles met in the Creator's pattern of constant change. See, that's all important. All about us, we see growth or deterioration taking place in grass, in flowers, in vegetables, in pets, in our children, in our own body. But the thing that's important is the way we adapt ourselves to this change. That's all important. In our affairs, all too often, we select for cultivation the very things we don't want. Courses that lead to mistakes and trouble, sorrow and pain. Then we carefully endow these selections with the full energy of our thoughts and words. We water them with tears and self-pity. Give them the concentration of undivided attention. And then we have a way of wondering why, indeed of all our efforts, we grow in a crop of trouble and discord. Let me tell you, it is not necessary. Let us deliberately refuse to turn our thoughts to those weeds we do not want. We must discipline our minds to concentrate on the good, on positive thoughts, the sunshine and water and soil that produce good in our lives, on the thought energy, the emotional powers we concentrate on our affairs to convert inevitable change into growth. In other words, our job every single day, and this day too, is to watch where we're going, what we're doing. If we want love and happiness, be sure it's to love and happiness that you devote your attention, not to discord and bitterness and resentment. If you want success in some field, give full recognition. Yes, give full recognition to success, and it's yours already. Think positive thoughts. Fix the life-giving force of your attentions and assurance and faith on the good you already have. Look for it in every circumstance. Now make no mistake about it. Change is inevitable. You can't halt the process of change any more than you can keep your child a baby. In the words of Dr. Arthur H. Compton, everywhere the conditions of life are changing rapidly, and these changes are all in the direction of greater interdependence. That is, making better cooperation of paramount importance. The point is that in this process of change, we go forward or we go backward. We bow to circumstances or we rise above circumstances. Of course, we cannot be expected to see beyond the point of our understanding any more than we can see beyond the horizon limit of our eyes. But the point is, we can master the thoughts we permit to remain in our minds. We can choose our thoughts according to God's laws. We know we get out of life exactly what we put into it. Nothing more, nothing less. We know if we sow love, we shall reap love. We sow hate, we reap hate. We have the power to concentrate on whatever kind of thoughts we choose. We know that if we endeavor to have an understanding heart, we shall find elsewhere an understanding heart. We know if we pardon, we shall be pardoned. We know if we give, we shall receive. Look at your own picture, 5, 10, or 20 years ago. See what a change has been made on the outside, in the outside person. You will scarcely know yourself. Well, that's the growth of the body. But God has given you the mastery of your mind. Your soul can keep pace with the growth of the body, just as the less perceptible growth of the trunk of the tree matches the more visible enlargement of its limbs. Look back at what you were thinking 5, 10, or 20 years ago, at the obstacles which seemed insurmountable then, at the joys and sorrows of yesterday. And just as it's hard to believe, those old photographs are you. Yes, we really looked as we did, not as we see ourselves in the mirror today. So it is equally difficult to imagine the progress, the maturity, that our soul has accomplished and made in the course of these years. In other words, we do not change without more than we change within. This is all important to know. There is no limit to the transformation which can take place in your mind. When we dig a little deeper in our search for answers to life's questions, when we wisely read between the lines, we find that God puts his blessings upon our efforts and draws us close, imparts to us his divine wisdom. We find, first of all, that our soul, our mind, gains maturity as we react in a positive manner to the pattern of life, no matter how unpleasant or unexpected. A pattern which we may not be able to change, except in our minds. But remember, that's all important in our mind. Because what actually counts is what we think, the way we feel about something. The growth of the soul, therefore, depends upon our free reaction to the problems with which we are faced. Our life is part of a divine plan, carefully prepared in every detail. Each moment of that plan offers a marvelous opportunity for our adaptation, for the growth of our soul and of our mind. The whole picture of our lives is so much brighter than the small pieces that hold and which our minds are prone to dwell on at length. Isolated from the background of all this, the whole, some parts, may look awfully black. But let me tell you, our Creator, in time, ultimately moves in on our subconscious mind and plays a pleasant trick on all of us. The unpleasant experiences of the past are relegated to the past. When we realize the power of our mind, the real secret escapes us. As long as we fail to exercise that freedom of choice, all important, endowed to us by our Creator. This mystery of growth functions in time of crises more than ever before. We say, why does this happen to me? How could this happen to me? I don't deserve this. Suppose we say, this is an opportunity, a challenge to react and gain greater maturity. Life with its steady, compelling urge to grow means that any door may open to us at any moment. Life makes us beneficiary of the physical experiences that the ages have bequeathed to us, of the signs and inventions of genius, of the mental and physical work of our forefathers that set us free to seek the larger spiritual things of life. Friends, let us profit by these examples of the past, by physical knowledge, to prepare ourselves better for the experiences of life. Yes, we can encounter experiences of all kinds along life's highway, good and bad, pleasant and unpleasant. We can prepare ourselves for many trials simply through the richness of knowledge of those who lived before us. But along that same highway, each of us is certain to meet some experiences so different from those for which we are prepared and so unexpected. But the point is, are they going to catch us unprepared and unawares? Each of us on life's journey must face a great many such surprising and disconcerting experiences that happen every day, any minute, and take us unprepared, unaware. The knowledge that somehow or other we have inside of us the strength, the power, and mastery of our mind to control every situation, to react, and so to change in our mind our feelings about any problem and situation is all important. What a wonderful privilege is ours to be a human being, to know that we endow with the mastery of our mind, that we can control through our reactions whatever is our fate. No, we may not control circumstances or situations, but we can control our life because we control that which we feel about life. What a wonderful challenge it is. Friends, you've been listening once again to our message of hope. God bless you, everyone.
Listen again tomorrow for another Message of Hope with Richard Eaton. This is UBC, the United.
All right, time for another installment of It's My House. We're waiting on a guest to call in. Hopefully they will call in. But in any event, today's podcast is titled High-Paying Professions, No University Degree Required. High-paying professions where no college degree is required. Now, in our program notes here, we're going to take a look at at least 10 industries where you have professionals that are doing pretty well, but you're not going to find a bachelor's degree program with some of these professions, and you've got some very wealthy people. Not all the people that are in these professions are wealthy, but you got some very wealthy people in some of these professions or industries. Just in the 10, and it's a lot more than 10, MBA, there's no bachelor's degree required to play or coach or own a team in the National Basketball Association. Not a one. NFL, National Football League, once again, there's no bachelor's degree, master's degree, or doctorate degree offered quarterback, wide receiver, center, tight end in the National Football League. NBL, Major League Baseball, there's no bachelor's degree program required to make the team or even work in the front office. You also had, now let's get away from sports for a moment. Some of the newer industries that are popping up, which is basically unregulated or very little regulation, you have smartphone entrepreneurs. We're working on getting a smartphone entrepreneur who probably makes $20,000 to $30,000 a month repairing smartphones. Tiny house builders, people out here that didn't even go to trade school or carpentry school, but they built their own tiny house, and now they're building for others. No, once again, no college degree required. Ghost town developers, there are some people out here that they go hunting for ghost towns, and they're repurposing those ghost towns into new communities. Once again, no college degree required. Mobile home entrepreneurs. There's quite a few mobile home entrepreneurs popping up. Travel bloggers. There's a whole bunch of them. One of my favorite travel bloggers is probably 25 now. 25. I don't think she's 26 yet. Lives the life of a multimillionaire. Now, she might not earn a million, but she knows how to travel hack and get enough experiences in where she can live like one. And there's several travel bloggers around. Language tutor. There are people that are making seven-figure incomes by teaching people foreign languages, or their native language to people that might speak a foreign tongue. And then house sitter. You know, it's interesting, the origins of It's My House all started with somebody that I allowed to house sit in a house that I have. And they tried to take the house. Professional house sitter, and they have videos on this. A lot of these house sitters travel the world and don't have to pay for accommodations. some of them have made it into a profession where they travel to some places, they don't have to pay for accommodation, they live in a nice spot. And then others, you know, charge for their services, the house sit. Some mix it up. Some, you know, do some things that are, you know, the accommodations are free and there's no charge. And other ones mix it up where they, you know, free for some time, they get paid for other times, including people that are pet sitters. So I was, I'm thinking that you got people out here that are squatting on somebody's property, and they don't realize that, you know what, man, you don't have to squat. You do not squat. If you don't want to pay for accommodations or can't pay for accommodations, you can turn that into a profession by first thing being nice and learning the business of house sitting. In any event, I'm going to see if I can wrangle up some statistics for you when we come back, but we're going to play Solar Cabin right now where Lamar Alexander, hey, building solar cabins, that's a profession now.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
My name is Marique, and this is my wife.
Oh, Nasa.
We don't actually have a name for the tiny house.
But it used to be the fun size tiny house, but he didn't like it, so.
Yeah, we pretty much just call it tiny. Welcome to our house. This is our living room. Happy to show you around today. I think we're probably one of the only tiny houses out there with a 55-inch TV. is kind of ironic because we actually don't watch that much TV. We also have our full sound system, this LG Blu-ray player. I mounted it pretty high intentionally because I know I'm a tall guy. I'm actually 6'5". So I knew, like, as long as I had it at the door height or above the door height, I was going to be good and wasn't going to have to worry about it. I like to mount a lot of things in a tiny house just because it helps you free up space so you're not using counter space or floor space on things that can easily hang on the wall and stay out of the way. I was actually really grateful that this bump out for the wheel well on this side was here. I didn't even think about that. And then when we got here and it was there, I was like, that is perfect. Like, it's almost like a little table, I guess, for, you know, all of our things for the entertainment system. I would have had to mount something otherwise. The mini split unit, it does heating and cooling for the house. It is very efficient. The house gets really cold really fast. The house gets really hot really fast, depending on which setting we have it on. So over here is our couch. It was a big thing for us to have a couch that was large enough for us to cuddle on and not feel like we were kind of jumbled up together. So we also do some storage space underneath of the couch. This is where my wife keeps all of her clothes that you would normally keep in like a chest of drawers. And so it still kind of serves that purpose of having a lot of seating space and also having a lot of storage space all at once. This is just pretty much how we stay organized and keep the writing utensils and mail and all of the other types of paperwork that we need just to kind of keep the clutter off the countertops and making sure we're not having to shove things into drawers. If everyone is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking. It's a quote by George Patton. This was something that we kind of always came back to just remind ourselves that, you know, we're our own people. We make our own decisions in life. We don't have to live with debt. We don't have to go the traditional route. Like, it's all about creating the lifestyle and the journey that we want for ourselves. We're originally from Kansas City, Missouri, so that's why we have that, because that's always home for us. We basically needed geographic flexibility, but we wanted to be owners and not renting. Renting just felt like such a waste. And then whatever we were going to own, we wanted it to have a future resale value or a future rental value. Our direction and our course can change in an instant, and we have the flexibility to kind of move with that.
So this is the kitchen, my favorite room in the house. So going tiny was his idea, and this was the only way that I was going tiny. We lived in a 1,100 square foot loft downtown in Jacksonville, Florida, and so this was basically the size of the kitchen, and I loved it, and I was always in there cooking, and I'm like, listen, if we're going to go tiny, I'm not sacrificing my kitchen. Like, we can do anything else, but my kitchen is not going. And we made sure that there was plenty of counter space, as you can see, being able to, like, have this deep sink. That way, like, we didn't feel like we needed to always, like, clean. In a small space, the bigger sink makes it not feel as cluttered.
We didn't actually see any display sinks or really any model sinks beforehand. You know, we really trusted our builders. They did a great job.
Yeah.
And they just said, hey, we'll put a 9-inch stainless steel sink in there if that works for you guys. We didn't really know what that meant, but then when we got it, we're like, oh, wow, this is huge, and we loved it and that it was so big.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have enough space to, like, keep some stuff stored in here. This is, like, my dry, like, pantry. Dry goods and stuff, but enough space also to sit down and, like, still be able to keep your feet here and eat and chit-chat and talk, even though this is where I like to eat and he likes to eat on the couch. We love potatoes in this household, so potatoes are always going in the oven, so I guess we use it for that a lot.
The stainless was one area where we were like, you know what, that's where we're going to kind of splurge it and get the top-of-the-line product.
I don't typically buy too much stuff anyway because I don't want it to go bad, so this is more than enough storage for stuff even though it's not full size. And it's nice that we still also have, like, a little bit of storage place where we keep our waters because we're very picky about our waters.
It was super important for us to go with a really large window here in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thought, like, this is going to be the biggest window. We wanted to bring in as much light as possible. And also, if we're ever having, like, a party outside and we've got, like, chairs set up and one of us is in here, like, cooking or getting something prepared, you know, having this window open, you still feel like you're
a part of
what's going on outside as well. And you might be thinking my head is really close to this ceiling. Like, it actually was by design. So that was super important for us. We told our builders that, you know, we didn't really care how small the loft was upstairs where we sleep at, I just absolutely didn't want to have to duck in the kitchen because that's something you're doing every day. And whereas within the loft, you're mainly laying down for the most part. So they made sure that this was my height. I got nervous a little bit during the build phase because it just seemed like it was tighter. And I'm like, you know, this is unfinished. Once we get it all finished, will I still be able? And they're like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And it all worked out. And so I have plenty of space to walk.
He just can't get very excited.
No jumping. But I can do a little tiptoe bounce, but that's about it.
I've learned to be better about putting things away when I use them pretty quickly because in a smaller space, it does feel like, wow, I have five things on the countertop and it's like, oh, this is so messy. Like, you put it away.
The house cleans up really quick, but it gets dirty really quick.
Yeah.
We threw a party and one of my really good friends came by.
He went straight to the bathroom in the sink and cut the water on. He was like, oh, like this works.
He just had this like childlike like fascination. Like when he flipped on the faucet and saw water come out of it, it was just like, wow, like this is a real house.
Welcome to the bathroom. So in here we have our stackable unit, washer, dryer. Then on this side we have our closet. This is our main closet, what we both use. And then down here, keep my shoes. That was something that was hard for me to get rid of because, like, I've collected shoes for some reason. Shoes that I never wore, actually. So it was kind of ridiculous. So this is our normal flushable toilet it works just like everybody else's in the traditional home. And we had to have, so love that. This sink is designed this way to give us extra storage space under here. I won't open this. This is where we keep our dirty clothes and like the rest of like our toilet paper and like paper goods and things like that. And like my hair products are also down here. And then over here we have our shower, 36 by 36. It is a full size shower. Because of the amount of time it takes for me to wash my hair, we actually ended up putting an extra vent in here because not exaggerating, I can take up to 3 hours to wash my hair and like be in this space. So I have to not only run both of these, sometimes I'll crack the window if I'm feeling like, okay, it's getting a little too hot in here. And I sometimes even go a length of putting the vent on in the kitchen so that I'm making sure like we are like recycling the air and like it's not getting too stuffy in here.
Back on it, it's just like we literally would buy stuff just to fill up space, mm-hmm. You know, just to make our house look a certain way, but it had no functional use, it had no purpose, and that just is like, it's kind of crazy now looking back. Usually there's an intentional mindset behind it, like there's a goal you're after, there's a certain lifestyle you're after, there's a travel component, like there's something you're looking to do and accomplish, you know, to make so many sacrifices and to do this. So usually I feel like those people are like more engaged in the community or in, you know, just different activities and things like that and getting out there. Up top here is a second closet that we use for hanging storage as well. Usually we switch clothes out seasonally. So, you know, once winter rolls around, we'll pull all our heavy duty stuff down and pull all our light duty stuff up. Sometimes if you're on the go and there is something that you need to grab, we'll just throw a bar stool over here, and then we can just step up and pretty much grab what we need pretty easily from this. This actually goes the full length of the bathroom, so the same square footage that we have down here for closet, toilet, sink, shower, and washer, dryer is the same square footage up there. So that thing actually goes in there pretty deep. Our ladder that we use for both our storage loft and our sleeping loft, yeah, it's very sturdy. Very, very sturdy. I'm a heavy guy, and I've never had once felt any bow or bend or creak or anything like that in the ladder. But it pretty much just hooks up here, so we can bring it, drop it down. And so these notches here are how we hang it when it's out of the way for storage. And then we went ahead and added these to make it really easy to use for the storage loft over here. Pretty much just hooks in to this ring I put in on this side, and then on this side it just hangs on that bar. And then on the opposite side of the house, we actually each night, we'll swing it this way, and we can set it up there to go up in our sleeping loft. And those hooks make it more sturdy, so no matter where this goes, it's not coming down off of there. So very sturdy, very heavy duty. Love these cast iron rails that they added to it as well. I always say it's one thing to sell a couch online, but it's another thing to like sell everything online at the same time. And so that was the hard part for me. But once everything was gone, moving into the house was pretty much a breeze outside of getting that king size mattress up into the loft. So this is our sleeping loft. We actually managed to fit a king size bed up here. The way the pitch and the living room roof is mixed with that half wall, it created quite a difficult journey.
Oh my goodness.
It literally took us like an hour to get our mattress from down there up here. But we love it, and we wanted to stay with the king size bed just because we knew that the space was already going to be really small and really tight. And so we felt like, let's cover the entire thing up. Like, we're not going to be moving around up here. We're not going to be working up here or really doing anything up here but relaxing. So let's fill the whole space. Let's make it really cozy and really comfortable so that from that perspective, it kind of checks all those boxes.
We actually have outlets literally in every four corners of this little space up top here. So I can have my phone charging up here. He can have his over there.
I have hit my head a couple of times. Sometimes I just forget. But it's only been like two or three times probably across the 2 to 3 years that we've been in the house. So, but I love the craftsmanship associated with this loft and, you know, just all of the different intricate design and the pattern, and it kind of almost looks like a butterfly to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I like that. It's really cool. A lot of people compliment it. A lot of people love it. We talked about earlier how she has all of her folded underneath of the couch, and this is kind of my area. So every morning before I get out of bed, pretty much pick out my clothes.
And throw it at me. That's what he does. He throws it at me.
Well, if she's on the couch, it is kind of a fun game to try to hit her with the clothes. But if you guys want to learn more about us, we are very active on social media. You can find us on Instagram at Tiny House Lifestyle.
You can find us on YouTube at Living Tiny with the Bushes.
Yeah. So Instagram is tiny underscore house underscore lifestyle. And like she said, YouTube, Living Tiny with the Bushes, where we talk all about our life in our 200 square foot tiny house, all about marriage and all about money. And we put a comical spin on everything we do. So all of our videos will make you laugh and you'll enjoy them and have a good time. So chat with us on social media. Join us. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. And thanks for watching.
Hey guys, Caitlin here. Today we're going to talk about house sitting and how you can become a house sitter. But first, a quick recap for you. 10 months ago, I quit my job to travel the world, and basically the only reason I've been able to do it is because of house sitting. I've already house sat in 6 different countries, so here we go. House sitting is when you exchange your services of taking care of a family's dog, cat, garden, pets, basically any house needs, and you exchange it in return for staying there at the house for free. Some house sitters get paid, and that's usually...
Okay, we're going to get back to that later. Today we're talking about high-paying professions where no university or college degree is required, 619-768-2945. And we point every Friday, or at least every week, we're going to have at least one live stream like we're doing today, where we're going to focus in on jobs. Matter of fact, some of the jobs that we're going to be talking about on here haven't even been invented yet. Okay. And so like 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, whatever, some of the jobs that we're going to be talking about, you know, 90 days from now, haven't even been invented yet. Or maybe they have been invented, but they're in their infancy. Maybe some have been around for a while, but it hasn't gone to a critical mass where it's regulated by government. And we're about to have a guest on and speak in a few moments here. But let me go through the 10 industries. Some are within industries and like some of the high profile ones is like the NBA, National Basketball Association. Nobody. Now let me go the NBA, the NFL, and the NBL. That's the National Basketball Association, the NFL, National Football Association, and NBL, Major League Baseball. The average salary, and mind you, to get a job in the three major league sports in the United States, football, basketball, baseball, as a player, as a coach, or as an owner, no college degree, there's no bachelor's degree program to become an owner of any sports franchise in the United States. And we're talking about basically billionaires. Okay. No bachelor's degree. There's no BS. There's no bachelor's of arts. No bachelor's of science. There's no master's degree. There's no PhD to become a professional in major league sports as a player, as a coach, or even as an owner. In the NBA, the average salary is $8.3 million. Average Major League Baseball salary is over $4 million a year. NFL, National Football League salary is over $3.2 million. For the National Hockey League, the average salary is $2.6 million. And Major League Soccer is $410,000. Now that's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's five major sports here in the United States on a professional level where a college, there's no Harvard, Yale, Stanford, you name it, there's no school that offers a bachelor's degree in any of those professions. As in the weeks coming, we're going to have people on here that are smartphone entrepreneurs, people that are making money because there are various aspects to a smartphone. So now you've got people out here they're supporting families off of, various aspects of smartphones. Tiny house builders, which we played their clip today again. Ghost town developers, people that are finding towns that have become ghost towns, they go to find these towns, they buy them on the cheap, and then they repurpose the town. No college degree required. Mobile home entrepreneurs, because we have Mobile Home Mondays. Travel bloggers, there's a whole bunch of them, people that travel the world. And we just played a little bit of house sitters. A house sitter is a profession. There is zero regulation, no licensing required at this point in time in history. What's this? June 11, 2021. As of this day in the U.S., there's no licensing requirement, zero government regulation to be a professional house sitter. I just played a little bit of the clip where the lady said, matter of fact, let me play it again real quick. I forgot how many countries she's
been. Hey guys, Caitlin here. Today we're going to talk about house sitting and how you can become a house sitter. But first, a quick recap for you. 10 months ago, I quit my job to travel the world, and basically the only reason I've been able to do it is because of house sitting. I've already house sat in 6 different countries, so here we go.
That's a profession, people. Okay, in 6 different countries so far. Okay, you can earn a paycheck for that. All right, language tutors. There are people that earn, the highest I've know about is some guy that earns like $4 million a year. Now, he's got partners now. He's got a partner to pay some of that out. $4 million a year teaching English to people in Asia that want to learn English. There's another one I know about, Gwen Lee. She earns over 500 Yeah, I think over $500,000 a year teaching English. All right. So there are various type of tutors. And then, of course, you just heard house sitters. So we're going to go to the lines right now. We have a guest that calls in, that has called in as our guest today, and she's going to be speaking about money. And good morning, Pastor Parker.
Well, good morning, L.A. You know we on personal basis. Good morning, L.A. Davis.
Good morning. Good morning. Well,
God bless you, man of God.
Thank you. Well, share with us. Well, first thing, do you need, and people, now I've got a college degree, so I went through the whole 4 years and all that. So if that's your thing, for whatever you need to go, go. But I'm just saying there's a bunch of professions that have popped up or that and that are popping up where you don't need to go to a four-year institution or even a two-year institution to make a sustainable living for yourself and your family. So, Henrietta, what are you going to be talking about today? And do you need to enroll in a college academic program to pursue this?
No. You really don't even have to finish high school for the program I have to make M-O-N-E-Y. I got a program that can teach people around this, and we in every country and every state. The only thing you got to have is desire and $35. How about that?
Okay, well, that beats $40,000 a year tuition.
I know it does, and when you get finished, you're still trying to get a job at Walmart's and Burger King and all that other good stuff.
Right.
I got a program that I teach. I teach cryptocurrency around the world. And, you know, this is a new up-and-coming market, and, you know, the Bitcoins go up and down. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's over 2,500 ICO. They call them ICO, cryptocurrency. And so what we do, we teach education. Enrollment fee is $35, and we take you from level 1 all the way up to level 9, and you graduate. You can do this in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 100. Once we get to the graduation, we will be teaching you 4X, how to invest into the stock market, real estate investment. We teach everything about money, credit repair, all that good stuff. And when you finish, we're going to give you a degree of a 40K income a month. Isn't that wonderful? No,
it is. Now, let's back up a little bit. Now,
I'm hiring
I'm
right
glad
now.
You brought up cryptocurrency because, through YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, you hear a lot about cryptocurrency.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure there's no bachelor's degree program in this. So
that's correct.
There are people making, as a matter of fact, you named some other things, Forex. Let's start with crypto, okay? Okay,
we're going to talk about the crypto market.
Define what crypto is to a, let's say, a person that's, they've heard of it, but they don't know what it is.
They green, a person that's green. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've been in cryptocurrency for over 20-some years. But a lot of people think cryptocurrency started with the Bitcoins, right? That's why I teach about money. So I want you to put your thinking cap on. When these big billionaires and future trillionaires and Oprah Winfrey and Jeff Bezos and all those guys, do you think they're using crypto or do you think they're using paper money? Let me tell you what crypto really is. And when I'm going to break it down to an amateur. When a person, there's two forms of money that you usually carry in your pocket. It's usually currency, paper money, or a debit card or a credit card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Money is nothing but a medium of exchange, buying goods and services, right? So when you go into the store, Lord and Taylor, Macy or whatever, and you go get that fabulous suit or dress or whatever, when you go to the cash register to check out, you're not usually standing up there with $1,000 in your pocket trying to pay for $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000. You pull out that plastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you pull out the plastic and they run your credit card, then they say, thank you, here's your receipt. Did you get what you wanted to buy through the plastic? That is digital currency, right? They hit
right.
your credit card, hit your bank, it says approve or deny. Well, guess
right.
what? Cryptocurrency is digital technology. You hear them people talk about the digit world now, right? That's
right.
where cryptocurrency is. It's a number system. Digits.
So, like, if you got money on a debit card or, let's say, if
you can have
PayPal, all that is digital.
Correct. Now, we
okay.
have two types of digital. Now, I'm going to break this down. You know, I'm a teacher. I'm on the road, L.A. I'm coming to see you. Now, there's two types of digital debit and credit cards now. One is for the debit and credit for currency, and the other one is for crypto. And that's why they have something out now called Bitcoin Master Visa cards, and I know a lot of people ain't heard of that. And so I'm going to teach the people how to get into the Master Visa card cryptocurrency and the gold standard and the silver. You know, I got all this stuff in my head. I know you're going to invite me back. And
I'm listening.
We can get this. Yeah, oh, I got some heavy stuff, L.A. I'm going to send it to you if I get home. We have the Master Gold Crypto Debit Currency card that you can get for, listen to this now, for a little $65, $69. We have it even where you can go and get one all the way up to $35,000. This is a gold cryptocurrency card, and you can take this card around the world. You don't need no Western Union. You don't need no PayPal. You become your own bank, ladies and gentlemen. Is that deep? That's deep. And it's a global opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a global opportunity. And every time you swipe that card, L.A., you get paid and your people get paid. Now, here's the good thing about it when we talk about fees and finances and all that. Everybody in the world can come in for free and get their debit, credit, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin card, and put up to $500,000 a day on that card. And you can spend it anywhere you want. You can send money to Nigeria, China, Japan, and we don't charge no fees. How about that for the word money? That's kind of deep, ain't it?
Right. Now, cryptocurrency, I'm trying to get a clear understanding. Now, that's not regulated like a United States dollar or euro by a central bank.
You know, that's a good question. They call it decentralized. Regulations. There's no regulation on the cryptocurrency industry. You become your own banker. And that's where we take you into the blockchains, ladies and gentlemen. And that's where you take go into your wallet and that training. That's a little deeper, so I'm going to take you on YouTube on that. But you become your own banker. That's what's going on in the world now. You control your own finance. You don't have to nobody scrutinize you about your credit and this and that. And they're going to charge you $35 fee for bounce check and all that. We got a new system out there called crypto, deregulation of the banking industry. So what do you think that's doing to those 12 central banks? They trying to get into cryptocurrency, so they still
can
control
to get
you.
Into the game.
But you can control your own destiny now. And a lot of people didn't understand what was even going on with this situation. I ain't going to call it. Everybody know what I'm talking about. But it was a code in there, L.A. And the code was, if you look up Corona, it means king. It was mean that everybody was set free and their financial debt. So this stuff is deeper than what it is on the surface. And so in order to get deep with stuff, you got to be...
Well, you know what? There's a movie, or actually a TV series on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it yet, called Startup.
Yeah, you need to send me. It's called what?
Startup. And it's about...
Startup.
Yeah, Startup. It's about... this Mexican Latino woman that basically came up with her own cryptocurrency.
And, now, you know, you're touching on, I got something for you on that.
Long story short. Yes, right, exactly.
Okay,
long
so I'm going to talk to you a little bit.
The government tried to come in and get in on it.
Right.
Because it was ahead of the government.
It was ahead of their time.
But it's
and
on Netflix. It's called Startup.
I know who she is. And she merged with the big bankers and stuff around the world.
Well, no, this one didn't go up that way.
Okay, because it's
anyway,
one that did
I'll
go
try
that
to
way.
Find a clip and play it. But and it's two. It's because there are two entries on Netflix with Startup. One's over in Korea, but the one that I'm talking about is over here. Based in Florida. But anyway, I'll get a clip and try to play it before you go. But anyway, continue on with what you're saying now.
Okay, L.A., what I basically want to do for the people in the United States and these young people and people that's interested in change in their lives is get them enrolled in my Road to Financial Freedom, new ICO program for as little as $35, and begin to teach them what is money is, number one. A lot of people ain't know what money is. A lot of people don't dip the dab in a 4X exchange. It's a $5 to $7 trillion industry. The stock and bond industry is only like $50 billion in the United States. So the money is made overseas. That's why we have a global virtual network that we tap into the systems around the world. So what we want to do is take the average person, and not even the average person, a person with desire to want to change their life. $35, we even have some people that would pay them in and begin to teach them bitcoins and cryptocurrency. Now, you know what the good thing about this course is? This is an online course. So only thing we got to do is register, get them started, begin training them. I do Zoom meetings and everything. And so from level 1 to level 9, it depended on the speed of the person, and it's a referral program that they can be at 40,000 in 30 days, unheard of, right? Now, did they have to go to school? Yes, my school, Minister Henrietta E. Parker, Miss CEO, Millionaires in Training. And when we get finished with them, they will no longer have to stand in and wonder how are they going to make a living to survive. You know, L.A. is very bad out on the street now. People just shooting and killing. I live in the Chicago area. I live in the suburbs. And every day somebody's getting shot or killed. Why? Because they strip the finances out of the community. I travel to Detroit. Michigan is the same thing. Kankakee, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, L.A., you know. You go in these areas and there's no jobs, no money. You know, when they start taking all the jobs out back in the 1980s, the 1990s, the black community start falling apart. Communities, really. The man did not have the money to be the head of the household. So can you imagine we can take his whole family, him, his son, his daughter, his wife, and give them employment. Sales experience is not necessary. No experience necessary. And we can teach paid every week.
Henrietta, hold that thought. I want to play something for you and then have you
come on before
we go with Eric.
Did you know 50% of the world population don't have access to a bank account? But almost all of them have a cell phone.
That's GenCoin.
She's launching a currency that no one uses.
Not yet, but they will.
You make this something that is actually going to change the world.
I do what I have to, but I'm trying to change that.
It's digital currency. Unregulated, untraceable.
Agent Rath, Special Agent Pierce.
You gotta ask yourself one question. What does a banker from Brickell, a hacker from Hialeah, and a thug from Little Haiti have in common?
I believe in what y'all doing, and I want to be a part of it.
Digital currency. All you need is this.
This is your mess, and I'm gonna clean it up.
We can own this damn city. That money isn't yours.
This is supposed to be a legitimate business.
I don't think you understand how this works.
You want to know what the difference between a rich thug and a poor thug is?
This is Miami. Even the good get dirty.
Is that what you think he is?
He's FBI.
You are holding onto a time bomb.
If they play dirty, that means we can play a little dirty too.
It's the future. Not just of crime, but of commerce.
Did you know that IGN has a mobile app that gives you all the trailers you love right in the palm of your hands? It's fast. You can save for later. Check your personalized.
Okay. So wait a minute. Wait, hold on. Okay, I had to take myself off speaker. All right. That is, we're going to get back to Henry. I want you to comment on that. I'm going to play it again. People listening, listen to the very beginning of it, because this is what I believe Henry is talking about. The TV show, now it's on Netflix. It's called Startup, one word, not two words, but Startup. They have two television series. One's based in Asia. The one I'm talking about, what I'm playing a trailer on right now, is based in the United States. And matter of fact, that's the homework assignment. And I think we're going to touch on this topic every week. Anyway, pay close attention to the first 30 seconds of this.
Did you know 50% of the world population don't have access to a bank account? But almost all of them have a cell phone. That's GenCoin. She's launching a currency that no one uses.
Not yet, but they will. You make this something that is actually going to change the world.
I do what I have to, but I'm trying to change that.
It's digital currency. Unregulated, untraceable.
Agent Rath, Special Agent Pierce.
You got to ask yourself one question. What does a banker from Brickell, a hacker from Hialeah, and a thug from Little Haiti have in common?
I believe in what y'all doing, and I want to be a part of it.
Digital currency. All you need is this.
This is your mess, and I'm going to clean it up.
We can own this damn city. That money isn't yours.
This is supposed to be a legitimate business.
I don't think you understand how this works.
You want to know what the difference between a rich thug and a poor thug is?
This is Miami. Even the good get dirty.
Is that what you think he is?
He's FBI!
You are holding onto a time bomb.
If they play dirty, that means we can play a little dirty too.
It's the future. Not just of crime, but of commerce.
Did you know that IGN has a mobile app that gives you all the trailers you love?
Okay, one more time and we're going to Henrietta.
Did you know 50% of the world population don't have access to a bank account? But almost all of them have a cell phone. That's GenCoin. She's launching a currency.
Okay, Henrietta, that's a trailer from the TV show on Netflix. Startup, your thoughts?
Well, there was a couple of messages in there, and one of them was about that cryptocurrency I'm talking about. It's deregulation.
Right.
And then the other one was talking about how the rich thugs are getting richer, but they're not going to share that information with you because they don't want you to become level up. You know, they call level up as you move on up. The justice
right.
system. And so now the mindset is technology, right? So
right, because she did say that the amount of the population, the world population that don't have bank accounts, but there are people out here with smartphones.
Yeah,
people
yeah, all
in
over
rural Africa that has smartphones.
They don't. They give them over there free. Why do you want to give you the smartphone? If I could still control and track you everywhere you go, then I know what you're talking about. I can zoom in on your conversation. But if I give you bank accounts, you can what? Level up. You can buy land. You can feed your family. You can feed, you can put water wells. So we don't want to give you bank accounts. We want to give you a smartphone. So we
right.
can keep up with you and see what you up to. But here's the secret. Cryptocurrency is around the world. They have 2,500 cryptos. Right now, they can start it up as a startup company, and then go over to the market cap. And we can teach all this. But here's the secret. We can get them started for $35 and start making money around the world. I have a slogan, changing people's lives one person at a time. And we can get these people started today as little as $35. Matter of fact, they can register for free. And we can get them in the system, and we can begin changing lives. And that's what my ministry is about, changing people's lives one person at a time. Be healthy, wealthy, and wise. See, God gave everybody a what? A brain. I always say, they used to say that the worst thing about the terrible thing that you can waste is your brains. Because if you don't use your brains, you're not going to create no wealth. You're not going to take care of your temple. You're not going to feed it no natural food. You're not going to be creative. So if I can destroy your minds with drugs and alcohol, and I can keep you entertained with a phone, then I ain't got to worry about you leveling up. You get me that way? I can keep you on the street doing whatever you don't need to do. But if you go in this cryptocurrency deregulation world, you don't need a bank account. You need a wallet, a blockchain account, and you will become your own banker.
Mm.
And that's what I want to teach. I want to teach them how to become their own banker, how to get into this market. Do you know right now I have an ICO coin is less than a penny a piece. I want you to listen to this now. You know, our young people want to goddamn buy these $500 gym shoes. But what if I could show you a penny a piece? That's what Bitcoin started off with, 2008. Now it's up to $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. Do you know how many Bitcoins you could have got for a penny? I got a company right now. It's backed by a gold company, backed by the FDIC, a penny a piece. If you for $10,000, you can have 1.2 million coins, L.A., and if the coin go up to $1, you just became an instant millionaire. If it go up to $10, you just became $12 million rich. And if it hits $100, which is predicting to do this year, you $120 million. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, what school they going to teach you that? And so this is
well,
what
not Harvard and Yale, for
out
sure.
On. That's what we're missing out on. And this is a global operation that they can get in for free. This is a free transformation. They don't even have to buy no packages or anything. And the company begins to start paying them in Bitcoin and Ether and coins and Litecoin and their coin. That's the stuff that I want to teach people, how the road to what? Financial freedom, just with a little bit of knowledge.
Now, you say you have Zoom calls, too?
I'm setting them up, but I do have
okay,
a conference call
okay.
line number. I want to give you my number. They can give the number. They can contact me, and we can start getting them started. I'm looking
okay,
for people, leaders in different areas where I can meet
mm-hmm.
with them, set me an audience of 50 to 100 people. I'll fly in and teach every last one of them.
Okay. Now what's mm-hmm. the conference call number for now?
My conference call number is 978-990-5170. 978-990-5170. Our PIN number is 219-3668-POUND. 219-3668-POUND.
Okay. And what day of the week and time?
I have calls Monday through Saturday on the cryptocurrency at 7 o'clock Central every night. 7 o'clock Central every night.
Okay.
And
right.
they can reach me at 708-855-6002. Again, that number is 708-855-6002. And we can
okay.
get them started immediately. And we're looking to give youth jobs, 18 and older, summer career, earn an extra $500, $2,000 a week. And we're looking for people that's knowledgeable in the cryptocurrency arena so that we can bless the world. And that's what
okay.
our mission is, Minister Henrietta E. Parker.
All right. Now, hold on, Henrietta, for a moment. Let's play, because we're crypto cell phone, I mean smartphone.
Drive into Kenya's capital on any day of the week to Nairobi's bustling streets and witness a nation in love with the mobile phone. Virtually everyone has one, and if they aren't talking on it, they are texting with it or just holding it.
Where would you be without it?
Without it?
Yeah. If you
my life will definitely come to a stop.
Why?
Because, okay, I do a lot of stuff with my phone. Like, it trans my life.
Yeah.
I meet my clients, I call them, I text them.
So it's important to you.
Very important to me.
Mobile phone usage is exploding here, everywhere in sub-Saharan Africa. Growth of 18% every year. The population in Kenya is 43 million. Roughly 30 million have cell phones.
The phone phenomenon in Kenya isn't just about numbers. It's about the way people use phones here.
One recent study revealed some startling statistics. It showed that many Kenyans would sacrifice food and clothing just to recharge their phone credit.
What we find is that, you know, when inflation is running high and disposable income reduces, people spend just as much on cell phones, but would reduce the quantity and the quality of their food they eat.
Bob Colimo is the head of Safaricom, which has 17 million of Kenya's 30 million subscribers.
Here in Kenya, and probably in many other African countries, the cell phone is a productive tool. It's not a luxury item.
It's gone well beyond talking and texting, or SMS as it's often called here. M-Pesa, Safaricom's mobile payment system, is in its seventh year now. It uses simple texting technology, and it is the most developed in the world. People can deposit and withdraw, transfer money to anyone in Kenya.
You know, if you only have 30 shillings, and 30 shillings will get you a bus ride back home. Actually, you'll spend that 30 shillings on buying airtime rather than the bus ride, because if you have the 30 shillings as airtime, you can then call someone and ask for the money to be sent.
That is an enormous convenience. Many Kenyans don't have a bank account. The majority do not have credit cards, and they live in rural, remote places where getting to a bank is difficult.
Mobile technology has become ubiquitous. So it's no longer a preserve of, certain people and different socioeconomic ladders.
Dennis Gakunda is a program manager at Google in Nairobi. Dell and Microsoft are here too, all because of the mobile tech boom.
Everyone has one, and because everyone has one, it's transforming how people do many other things beyond just communicate. They started off as just communication tools. They've been used from everything to sending money back to people up country, to payments.
180 miles north of Nairobi, Catherine Mimona surveys her latest banana crop. Her phone is always with her because it helps track the fluctuating prices on the market with an app called M-Farm.
I go to the M-Farm application, and I simply query on the price for bananas. I then await the answer, which will give me the price for bananas within Nairobi.
So it's really just as simple as punching in a number and asking a question.
Yeah, it's a matter of efficiency, really leveraging on technology, and that's the future for this country and for the farmers of this country, so that you don't have to spend all your time and money going to Nairobi to find out what the markets are like. You can get the scenario right where you are.
It means Catherine Mimona regularly doubles her profits because she doesn't need to rely as much on the middleman.
I'm then able to go to the same M-Farm and advertise my commodity that I've got a ton of bananas to sell at 20 shillings per kilo, all right, simply because I know the expectations of the Nairobi market or the Mombasa market. So yes, it does help me make more money.
So there is an enormous appetite for apps, and the mobile boom is fueling a whole new generation of young African entrepreneurs. MobiDev is one of many tech startups in Kenya specializing in app development. The team at MobiDev is just about ready to release its latest app, designed to help parents find missing children, essentially a mobile link to data at police stations and children's homes across the country. The majority of Kenyans don't have smartphones, so many of the services and apps are the texting kind, low-tech but effective. One helps people cope with Nairobi's notorious traffic.
You've burned a lot of fuel in the traffic, so combined, all that loss combined is a lot of money to the economy.
Labanu Kune was so tired of the traffic, he designed a program to try to beat it. Send a text and you get a traffic report.
What our app does is basically reroute people from troubled roads to less troubled roads.
There's even an app for making a bus ride easier and safer. Catching a bus is usually chaotic and complicated, trying to buy a ticket fraught with difficulty. BebaPay makes it incredibly easy. The rider buys a BebaPay card before or after getting on the bus. That card is loaded with money, which can last days or even weeks. The conductor then uses a special app in his smartphone to tap the card and charge the fare.
It's convenient because sometimes you have to follow the conductor around for change. But with BebaPay, it's just direct.
The idea came from Google's office in Nairobi. It is transforming the way bus owners do business. Before, it was virtually impossible for them to track what they were making.
Bus owners are able to get like a dashboard, seeing in real time how much they're collecting as every tap is made. We had a case where the bus owner simply downloaded their sales reports for a couple of days, were able to present this to a bank. And they were able to see cash flow, like strong evidence of cash flow.
Commuters are benefiting in other ways. Nairobi's matatus, those minibus taxis, now feature Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it doesn't cost me money. It's very little.
But it's worth it.
Yeah, it is worth it.
Because you get more customers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're on Wi-Fi, you're most likely to do what you wish to do. And it's very interesting. You're chatting with people. You're doing your serious business on the net.
Technology has even reached some of the poorest slums of Nairobi. This is Gorogocho, home to over 100,000 people.
People here don't have much. Unemployment is very high, and if they do have a job, they earn very little, but virtually everyone has one of these.
Inexpensive brands, but they are just as connected as everyone else, and thanks to one service, lives are being saved here. Pregnant women in Gorogocho can access an SMS text-based service to keep in touch with Grace Onyango, a midwife here. She monitors their progress. I feel safe and comfortable, she says. I can communicate and get these services, especially when I am not feeling well. I know the support is here, she says. And Grace uses her own cell phone to tie into a new system, monitored 24/7 by a doctor.
Now, like here, someone is saying that a mother is bleeding after delivery, immediately, from the umbilical cord. And that baby has just been born. And so my intervention now will be sending a nurse to go there with an ambulance, immediately.
The infant mortality rate in Kenya as a whole, and in the slums in particular, is among the highest in the world. This simple texting service is making a difference.
We never knew text messages could actually save lives. Until we started this, we have saved so many mothers.
Saving lives and changing lives. Technology in the mobile phone is having a profound impact on the way people do things in Africa.
Did you know 50% of the world population don't have access to a bank account? But almost all of them have a cell phone.
That's GenCoin.
She's launching a currency that no one uses.
Not yet, but they will. You make this something that is actually going to change the world.
I do what I have to, but I'm trying to change that.
It's digital currency. Unregulated, untraceable.
Agent Rath, Special Agent Pierce.
You got to ask yourself one question. What does a banker from Brickell, a hacker from Hialeah, and a thug from Little Haiti have in common?
I believe in what y'all doing. And I want to be a part of it.
Digital currency. All you need is this.
This is your mess, and I'm gonna clean it up.
We can own this damn city. That money isn't yours.
This is supposed to be a legitimate business.
I don't think you understand how this works.
You wanna know what the difference between a rich thug and a poor thug is?
This is Miami. Even the good get dirty.
Is that what you think he is?
He's FBI!
We all got choice. Life's about choice. We can turn this into something very real that has the power to change the world.
What does a banker from Brickell, a hacker from Hialeah, and a thug from Little Haiti have in common?
Debuting on Crackle on September 6th, Startup starts with a Bob Dylan quote. Martin Freeman's very tired-looking FBI agent on a treadmill looking out over the Miami night, a couple of sex scenes, a shakedown, a whole lot of servers being moved back to the family home, and $2.2 million in what turns out to be dirty money, which is a lot of the right kind of components. But they just don't seem to connect enough here to ever really get this show started. And that's a lesson to many.
Here's what's up. Folks are always saying that money corrupts people. But what everyone fails to recognize is that people corrupt money. GenCoin can put an end to that.
Because with the creation of a digital currency system that would help the poor ignored by the big banks and live outside the realms of borders and governments at stake, the 10-episode simultaneously launched series has the basic premise and the humid melting pot of the Florida metropolis to really go somewhere and say something. Unfortunately, at least from the episodes I've seen, Startup just routinely checks off way too many of those peak TV era boxes with corruption in high places, rough sex, and soiled American dreams. And then it gets way too tangled up in itself, proclaiming its premise the future with a meandering and constant homage to the work and style of Michael Mann, who, of course, is a great American filmmaker, as this show inadvertently reminds us as it lacks his skill.
Okay, that was another trailer from TV show that you can catch on, Netflix, Startup. Now, there are two startups. This is the American, it's one word, not two words, the word startup, but they make it one word. And they had the Asian version, but you want to watch the, once again, it's about this Latino woman that she basically creates her own, I guess, digital currency. Anyway, now we got a person on the line today, Henrietta Parker. Henrietta, back to you. So for people just tuning in, what is the advantage of trading or dealing with a cryptocurrency?
Well, the advantage is knowledge. You know, this is the way of the future. Just like the woman was saying, the movie Startup. This is the new wave of money. A lot of people didn't know that paper money came from China. They thought it came from the United States. So the coins and everything basically came around the world, you know, back in the olden days and stuff. But paper money was created in China. So the new wave of money is cryptocurrency. Whether it's Ethereum, Litecoin, Bitcoin, GS coins, whatever type of coin is, 2,500, they come in every day. The other thing that people didn't know, the coin is a way to start your business. It's like an IPO and an ICO. And so as people invest into these coins, like say we was building these little tiny houses or buildings or new communities and stuff, you need money. You need capital, right?
Right.
Whether it's digital or fiat. So the cryptocurrency segment right now is about a $675 billion industry. So the big bankers and the people that's looking for money go just as they do the IPOs. And so this is what we need to know. What is money, how we create money, what it's used for, and how we develop our own community. You know, last time I was on there, I was talking about the Pullman over here, George Pullman, how he created his own community. And I really want to create this ecosystem with you because you can create your own townships. I'm a real estate mortgage broker. I have my own real estate firm and stuff. And the interest rate right now, ladies and gentlemen, is 2%. You can get a $500,000 house, depending on the taxes, running about $2,200. So we can take this $35 program, teach people how to create their own money, and also learn how to handle their own finance, credit, and all. We need to understand this in these communities. you get out here and buy these credit cards and you go shopping with them, they charge you 28% to 35% interest, but you worry about your house being 2%. You spend more money
now,
on a credit card than
you
would pay with your house payment.
Let me ask you this. Now, you got, Bitcoin.
Right. We're dealing with cryptocurrency along with Bitcoin. We got all kinds of coins. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the United States dollar, I'm just picking one of the world country currencies.
Right.
Their legal tender, the United States dollar, which is regulated. Okay.
Every one of them.
Versus, and let's say, well, every country has its own currency.
They call it the Forex market. We train on that, too.
Okay.
That's a $5 to $6 trillion industry.
Okay. Now, let's say... for instance, it's Friday right now, so it's payday for many people. So let's say a person is working at Popeye's Chicken. They get off work, and they get paid, and their employer comes with them with a check or cash in the form of the currency of a Japanese yen or British pound. Either one of them. Well, let's take the British pound. The British pound is stronger than the dollar. However, if you go to Home Depot or Walmart or McDonald's, more than likely they're not going to accept that British pound, which is stronger than the dollar. Okay. But
so how
do we
convert the pound into where they could shop? Well, that's the
right
question
now. We know how to do it, but it.
How do we do it for the normal person, the average person?
Right.
Is that the question? Okay.
Cryptocurrency versus the dollar.
I'm gonna give you the answer.
Okay.
Remember, I was saying that I have a gold currency gold card.
Okay.
And so it converts all money into money that you could spend on this card. All you got to do is swipe the card. It'll transfer the money from crypto into fiat. And so they just have to buy that card.
For people that don't know what it is, what is fiat currency?
The U.S. dollar.
Okay, so in other words, legal tender offered by a country's currency. In other words, the United States dollar is the fiat currency for the United States. The Mexican peso would be the currency, the fiat currency for the country of Mexico. The euro would be the fiat currency for several European countries.
That's correct. And in the foreign, you're getting into the foreign exchange market. We train on that also. And it's like 7 combined symbols that they use. And so that's how, you know, the money goes around in the foreign exchange market.
Right.
But we teach that in our class. That's a higher class.
Okay. Now, all those fiat currencies are basically regulated by
the U.S.
the country that issues those.
By the U.S. government, a country that they in. Usually, this is where foreign exchange is. I live in the United States. I'm going to Kenya. Well, Kenya got his own money. They're not taking fiat dollars. So I go to their exchange and change my dollar into the money that's in Kenya money, right? Okay,
charge
me a fee. I use the Kenya money. When I get ready to go back to the United States, I transfer the Kenya money back to the United States money.
Right.
That's what the foreign exchange is. That's why they call it foreign exchange. It's changing fiat money into the foreign pesos or Kenya Euro dollars or whatever.
I think in Kenya, they have shilling. They call their currency shillings, I think. But you're right.
So
whatever it's called, they convert it back. Yeah.
Right. Now, here's the secret. every day somebody's changing money, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right?
Right,
if you learn this trade, which they don't teach us in school, if you learn this trade, you can take less than $10 and start into the market. Isn't that something? A lot of people ain't know that. You can start as little as $10 into the market and become a multi-millionaire by learning your lesson. This is what the world don't want the poor to know. It's not that they got to be poor. They just need to be what? Educated on the system.
Right.
And that's what deregulation does for communities. That's why people get ready to get out of poverty around the world. That's how God meant for people to live anyway. He didn't meant for it to be a poor, a middle class, and a high class. He meant everybody to be equal, to use their talent to create their own
wealth. So basically what you're saying is these digital currencies are equalizing.
Set the whole world free. Yes.
Right.
It would get everybody
for instance, I got them on my phone, but I'm on my laptop right now. Depending on what the exchange rate is, the Mexican peso, the United States dollar can multiply by 19 to 20 times in Mexico with the Mexican peso.
Right.
So with cryptocurrency, how does that work?
It's just like I was telling you about one of the cryptos that we promoting now, that they can get it for less than a penny a piece, right? So if you got say you got $100, right?
Right.
So and 1 to 10 cents, that's 10 cents, right? A dollar a piece, 10 cents, right? So you got $100, you can get 1,000 penny coins, right?
Right.
If the coin go up to $10, you just made $10,000. The average people that's in these foreign countries, $10,000, they can build houses and water wells and everything else. You see what I'm saying? So they can
I know somebody that lives in Uganda.
Oh,
and
you need to be in contact with that person. Is they open-minded?
Their paycheck, and they got one child. Their paycheck in the United States dollars is equivalent to $75 a month. But
I would like to meet that person.
She can live on it.
Because they taught how to live on that.
Well,
so can you imagine we take that same person and help their paycheck go up to $500 a month? Then she can help 10 families.
That's what we have to offer.
We got an ecosystem. I got an ecosystem that will bless the people around. God gave me this. I've been working on projects. You know, when I talked to you last year, I was working on projects to create an ecosystem that would bless the average person or even the below average person come up to a higher standard. And see, that's what people have to understand. Humanity is God. God created humans. And every child and every person you see have the spirit of the Lord upon them. Whether it's good or evil, it's still God. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people get that twisted because when they transformate and go from the evil side to the good side, they forget they was on the other side. So we don't have the right to condemn anyone. It's God's judgment, but we have the right to help humanity. And that's what our mission is, helping humanity live a better life. And if we get that, that's the love of the Lord. If we get the love of the Lord, it's a do unto others as you do unto yourself. So why would you want others to live in poverty and you live in riches and people eating out the trash can and veterans sleeping on the ground? That's not a God. And if we can go back to the basics and begin loving one another, begin speaking to you. You know, half the people in the world don't even speak to you. You go outside and people don't even speak to you. You got to say, hello, how you doing? God bless you. You know, something simple as that begins to break down the curses of the land. And so once we begin to start back communicating and breathing this good air that God made us to breathe, begin loving each other, respecting each other, you know, we got to get past this color thing. It ain't about color, because when you scrape the skin off, everybody's blood is red, right? And so once we begin to love and respect each other as humans, And as we respect each other as human, we respect God, because God made human. Man didn't make human. Right? So we could take this
right.
program
well,
and create an ecosystem.
Now, you got a conference call tonight, right?
Yep, 7 o'clock Central.
Central
and when you have me on next week, I have a one-number dialing so they don't have to put the pin in there.
Okay, so the number for tonight is?
978-990-5170. The pin is 149. I'm sorry, no, the pin is 219-3668-POUND. 219-3668-POUND. And again, the number is 978-990-5170. Also, you can reach me at 708-855-6002. And you know what, LA, we're looking for people.
Uh-huh.
We're looking for people around the world that needs help, and we will start them off for free and build them an ecosystem. So, like the lady in Ghana or whoever needs some help, anybody needs some help, we'll help them get started. That's a part of our ministry.
Well, it's like I say, today's topic is what the headline was: high-paying professions, no university degree required. So they're going to be, not going to be, there's some, well, you're one of them today. I would call a cryptocurrency professional.
Right.
And to my knowledge, there's no bachelor's degree offered in that. And but now there's something that's popping up in some of these professions, like there's a smartphone university now that a guy comes with. You go to his university, and it doesn't cost much money to go to this university, smartphone university. We're going to have him on here. And he teaches you basically how to make money with a smartphone. Now, what you're talking about, because once they, you know, listen to what you have to offer, you're going to be educating them. So, to my knowledge, there's no Harvard or Yale program, no Ivy League program, or bachelor's degree offered in cryptocurrency, which is the beauty of it. Because
isn't that awesome?
When you get in on the pioneer phase of things, because if you think about it, the universities that offer a degree, a bachelor's program, you know, BA, Bachelor of Arts, BS, Bachelor of Science, Master of Science, even PhDs, those, they've been around for a while and they're regulated. Where the ball is going right now is it's, and then look at some of the writings on the wall. Once again, if you look at the major league sports, LeBron, there's no professional basketball player that has a bachelor's. There's no bachelor's degree in being a center, a point guard, a coach in any professional sports. You know, Bill Gates, he dropped out of Harvard like his first semester. Mark Zuckerberg dropped out of school because Facebook is a glorified website. So although there are degrees offered in information technology, I don't think there's no degree offered. There's no Bachelor of Science or Bachelor of Arts in you know, putting up a website, you know. So with digital currencies or currencies, period, there's now nothing offered with that. So, Henrietta, we're going to have you back on next Friday as well. And this is the homework assignment. For that, check out on Netflix this weekend, Startup.
Did you know 50% of the world population don't have access to a bank account? But almost all of them have a cell phone. That's GenCoin. She's launching a currency that no one uses.
Not yet, but they will.
You make this something that is actually going to change the world.
I do what I have to, but I'm trying to change that.
It's digital currency. Unregulated, untraceable.
Agent Rath, Special Agent Pierce.
You got to ask yourself one question. What does a banker from Brickell, a hacker from Hialeah, and a thug from Little Haiti have in common?
But I believe in what y'all doing, and I want to be a part of it.
Digital currency. All you need is this.
This is your mess, and I'm going to clean it up.
We can own this damn city. That money isn't yours.
This is supposed to be a legitimate business.
I don't think you understand how this works.
You want to know what the difference between a rich thug and a poor thug is?
This is Miami. Even the good get dirty.
Is that what you think he is?
He's FBI.
You are holding onto a time bomb.
If they play dirty, that means we can play a little dirty too.